to us this morning. I want you to open your Bible to the book of John this morning. We want you to go to John chapter 5 and see if I can find it. Yes, there it is. John chapter 5, we're going to just read a few verses, maybe about 10 verses in John chapter 5. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of receiving a name. Names mean something. I guess it was Shakespeare that said that wouldn't a rose smell the same by any other name? That means if you didn't call it a rose, you called it a skunk, it would still smell like a rose, right? I saw a little cartoon where some fella had a pet skunk. He called it Rosie. And I thought, wow, he's making a point there somehow. Names are important. Preacher had a couple come to him for marriage counseling and sat down in front of him, and he said, well, all right, what's the trouble? And the man said, what's your name here? Says, I'm forgetful. Names can, and I have trouble with names. You know that if you've been around church, right? How folks come forward, I'll call them by the wrong name, call some of these college students by the wrong name. See one of them sitting there smiling at me when I said that. Here's the problem. Not just I call them by the wrong name, but they answer. And once they answer, I'm going to do it again and again and again. Amen. John chapter 5, pick it up with me in verse 31. Lord Jesus speaking. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. He's talking to the Pharisees, a religious crowd in particular that's quizzing him here. And he says, you don't have his word abiding in you. He hath sent him, you believe not. You might not believe it in him. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Old Testament scriptures. And they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. This is my text, verse 43. My theme this morning, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Now the setting here, Jesus has a pretty big crowd here. He's come to the Passover, one of the Passovers mentioned in the Bible. And he's being quizzed. He's been under attack here by the Pharisees. And he tells them, you don't have the word of God in you. You had a witness. You didn't pay it any attention. And Jesus here is predicting the future a little bit in verse 43. He said, I've come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. But another will come in his own name, and him you'll receive. Now, the Lord Jesus is talking about something future. Not only future from them, but future from us. And I think getting pretty close. But anyway, he's talking about the deceiver that's coming. Boy, we're in the day of deception now. One of the titles of the Antichrist is the deceiver. And the deception is going on so big. We talk about fake news. Right now, we see a country shut out over fear that the facts don't justify. And Satan is you. You don't have to know much Bible to know about what Satan is using things today against the church, against God, in every kind of way. We've gone crazy with fear in America over a disease or a virus that 98% live when they get it. Now, you can't hardly say that for the common cold. That's a stat. I look up my stats. Somebody say, where does he get that stuff? I do a lot of research, folks. When I speak, I know what I'm saying. I got papers on my desk to prove everything I say to you about this stuff. Satan's tool, 98% cure rate. That's a pretty good cure rate. Did you understand that? I mean, that's pretty good. A lot of hype today. The public health in England, and that's a big institution. They're laughing now. They're poking fun at some of the manipulating of figures that's going on in America. And that's some of the stuff I've been reading and talking to you about. They said there's 350,000 tests of 350,000 people that never were tested. That's in the stats. Now, I didn't say that. The Public Health of England says that. I mean, they know what they're talking about. Amazing, amazing. They say duplicate tests. For instance, you go in a local hospital here and you can get tested two ways, and you probably will. One, you'll get a saliva test, and the other one will be a nasal test. Run a stick up your nose so you understand what I'm talking about. And that's not pleasant, I understand. All right, they test the saliva, number one. They test the nasal, number two. So you get two stats. You get your name put down twice, not once. Some junk going on, folks. Some junk going on is what I'm talking to you about. Mislabeling. Friday afternoon, around 7 o'clock, I come in and turned on the news. It was probably Fox. I don't hardly watch anything else. I'm not sure. And there was a lady reporter come on there, and she was telling how that, and she had a paper. She put the print on the screen with a name on it. She said, this headline basically said, this announcement said, young man dies of COVID. She said, I happen to know about it, so I checked on it. The young man died in a head-on motorcycle crash. So she said, I went to the authorities and said, what's his name doing dying from COVID? He died. Oh, we made a mistake. She said, you sure did. You better correct that. She went back 3 days later, and his name was still on the list. Now, that's foolishness that should not happen, because you see, the politically correct thing is hype up the fear. Keep everybody scared. Keep everybody under control. That's about what is going on with this mislabeling. And that was in Orlando. It wasn't far away, what I just told you. Well, it was in Orlando. Now, I'm saying to you, the Antichrist is a deceiver. And Jesus said, I came in my Father's name, and you received me not. And he was talking to the Pharisees that was rejecting him. The Bible says in John 1, he came unto his own received him not. Talking about the nation of Israel. But he's saying here to them, he'll come in his own name, and he was predicting the future. When this fellow shows up, you'll receive him. Now look at the verse here, and I'm just going to kind of stay with the verse a little bit. I look at it here in verse 43. I see two names. I see two witnesses, and I see two results. The first name was from God. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. My Father's name. Somebody said, well, I don't believe in Jesus. I want to tell you something. Then God says you can't honor me without honoring him. You can't honor the Father without honoring the Son. And these two witnesses here of the truth, what are they? They're right here in the text. He mentions one of them, John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist, we know something about him. He was a forerunner of Christ. And the Lord sent him to say, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And he went out in the wilderness and began to baptize. And the people began to come out there to him. And he was speaking of Jesus. And when Jesus came to him, he baptized Jesus. And it was a voice from heaven. It was the Father's voice. Said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Yes, he had a witness that he was from God. That's what the text is telling us here. But then he says there's a greater witness than John. Did you see it here in verse 36? Look at it. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Remember in John chapter 3 when Nicodemus came to the Lord and spoke to him, he said, I know thou art a teacher come from God, because no man could do these things you're doing. I want to tell you something. The witness of what Jesus did, what Jesus is still doing, is a great witness that he was sent from God and he was God. Great witness. Verse 36. You know, continued works. Oh, in John chapter 14, when he was getting ready to go away and told his disciples over there, I'm going away to prepare a place for you, remember? But remember what else he said? He said, you will do greater works. Now, wait a minute. Jesus healed the sick, caused the blind to see, and the lame to walk. He raised the dead. And yet, he said, people in the future that believed on him would do even greater works. Do you understand, as you look at world history, that's what he's talking about? The greatest cathedrals ever built was because of Jesus. The greatest organizations to help people, hospitals, the greatest art, you name it, was because of Jesus Christ. I mean, we're still doing his works, aren't we? Didn't we have a youth camp this week? You know what that was? That was one of his works. You know who we talked about out there at the youth camp? We talked about Jesus. You know what we saw as results of that was because of Jesus. His works go on. He's still doing them. He said greater works. And he's talking about those that would believe on him in the future would yet do greater works. And you think about it, the organizations worldwide. I probably wouldn't be real happy to line up too much with the Red Cross, but look what. A big organization like the Red Cross, who's that referring to? Who died on the cross? Jesus did. Think about it. Do you know the Red Cross in the worst of our world wars could still go on the other side? I mean, it was amazing how that still the name of Jesus could get through in the worst of times. And the truth is, his works do go on. And they are a witness, as he says here, to who he was. Look around the world at the missionaries forgetting their own lives to go and carry the gospel in the darkest places of planet Earth. That's Jesus still doing works. You know, the text speaks of also of rejection. Now, this was a religious crowd here, the Pharisees. They were rejecting him. He wasn't quite living up to their what they thought he ought to, and they rejected him. I want to say today he's still being rejected. Have you noticed in the news where they, and we're not for idol statues, but when they go around and desecrate the churches and even cut the head off the Virgin Mary and cut the head off of Jesus? Amazing the hate right now that's being displayed. See, the church represents Jesus. He said that he loved the church and gave himself for it. Do you know, if you want to send God a message, just treat the church one kind of way or another. Don't show it respect. Do like the fellow did, drive your car into the lobby and set the place on fire. Oh, yes, happening all over the place right now. Paint it up. Desecrate it. Yeah, you're sending a message to God. God said his son loved the church and gave himself for it. You're getting through loud and clear to God with your attitude toward the church. Yes, you are. And we look around today and we see this sort of thing going on. And it's amazing the hatred that's being shown today. And you say, why? Why? Well, I'll tell you what. You heard them saying it about grace a while ago. You know, this world hates the grace of God in this sense. The grace of God, the truth of Jesus Christ, the old-fashioned gospel, what the Bible says puts the flesh down. The flesh cannot rise up and say, look how good I am, except me. No, God says our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, that there's none righteous, no, not one. And you know what that does to the pride of man? It hurts him. Men are so proud, they love to get trophies. They love to win. They love to have their picture made. They love to be called stars out in Hollywood. And kids put the sports figures pictures on the wall. Man is a proudful thing. Where does he get his pride from? You know who was the father of pride? The devil. You read Isaiah chapter 14, where he wanted to put his throne above God's throne. Proud, proud. The Bible says that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So we kind of condense it and say, well, pride goeth before a fall. Yeah, I know, but it says it goes before destruction first. And then the haughty spirit that it creates brings the fall, no doubt about it. But Satan incarnated in this man that's coming who will use his own name, that's who he'll be. Satan incarnated, he'll be full of pride. And you know, the Antichrist is going to reach his peak when he tries to put himself in the future above God. You know, we're talking about desecrating the church. We're seeing that in the news, seeing the mobs in the street and all the bad stuff that's happening. But there's going to be a time that the ultimate one that comes in his own name is going to commit the ultimate offense when he tries to blaspheme the very temple of God that will represent him at that time. You read Matthew chapter 24, you pick it up in about verse 15, and it talks about, and Jesus tells the saints of the tribulation period, he tells those Jews over there, said, when you see the abomination of desolation standeth in the holy place, then you better look out, you better run. See, the Antichrist is going to set up the abomination of desolation in the rebuilt temple. That's future. He wants to build a name for himself. He's full of pride. He wants to be in charge. He wants to set up his kingdom. And a lot of stuff we can't understand today is nothing more than him building one brick more at a time to build his kingdom today. We think about and we fear what's going to happen to our country as America, but as big as America is, and we are the leader of the world in a great way at the same time, the whole world right now is being duped and deceived. Every kind of direction, and Satan is behind that. He is behind that. And we look at it and see, oh, we fear for our country. We ought to. I preach too much on it probably, but I want to tell you something, folks, in the next few months, about the next three and a half, are crucial as to whether we see America as we knew it, or we see it go undergo a change that we can't believe. If you value your freedoms, you better stand up now while you can. If you value freedom of speech, for instance, if you value being able to own a firearm, if you value being able to move from one place to another and to have your own car and have your own freedom, if you value those things, if you value which school you send your kids to, if you value what you're allowed to teach them, you better fight for what's left. We're going to lose it. Deception is this fellow's name in a big way. This Antichrist is a deceiver. He will be Satan incarnate. His pride is already showing everywhere that you look. And the Bible says that the whole world will wander after him. Think about that. The whole world will wander after the beast. You read where it says, who can make war with the beast? He's going to be so great. He's going to be so powerful. Now, I believe with all my heart, there's one thing holding him back right now, and that's the restraint of God's people, where the Holy Spirit lives within the heart of the saved person. That's the restrainer. And I'm believing and I'm praying and I'm hoping that he can't come to power until the rapture of God's people takes place. But it sure looks like he's just growling and roaring around everywhere we look today and gaining ground. And we are the salt and the light that's supposed to resist him. We better do the best that we can for our grandkids' sake and those that will follow us. Whole world will wonder after this beast. He'll be wounded, Scripture tells us, and yet he'll live. I've watched, and some of you have that are prophecy students, we've watched various leaders in the world, political leaders and others, and we've watched because there's going to be one major sign. I'm going to tell you what it is, and you already heard me say it, I'm sure. There's going to be some politician, I don't know, some man, I don't know where, he might have a little supernatural stuff in him. He'll be Satan incarnate. But you watch him close, and somebody is going to take a shot at him. He's going to be, according to the scripture, wounded with a sword. That's a weapon, an attempted assassination, if you want to say so. But he's going to live through it. He's going to be wounded in his arm, and he's going to lose eyesight in an eye. So if you go home tonight and turn on the television, you find a guy standing there with one patch eye and a lame arm, be suspicious of him. Amen? All right. You don't have to tell anybody I said that. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. If you want to read about it yourself, go to the book of Zechariah and just read the whole thing. It's there. He's called the idle shepherd in most of our prophecy statements. But I'm just simply saying, Jesus said, you didn't receive me. You rejected me. I came in my Father's name. But there's one coming in his own name, and him you'll receive. Now, you know, I used to have a problem with that. How in the world could educated Americans, church-going Americans, ever? How could people that's heard preaching all their life, how could they accept the mark of the beast? How could they be that dumb? Well, I've lived long enough to get the answer. Yes, I have. I see the answer before me all the time now today. I can see the deception that's fooling folks. Mark of the beast will probably come in the vaccination business. You heard me say that on Sunday night. And you see, your neighbors, your friends, people you go to, I hope the church is not here, but there'll be some churches here people still be going to, the liberal ones that's not saved to start with. But there'll be folks that you rub shoulders with that would be very critical of you if you don't take the mark of the beast. Now, several of you out there got on masks, and I'm for you wearing masks if you want to. But I'm also for being free to do it whether I want to or not. You know? I'm going to give you a little cue, and you think on this, because you're not going to like what I'm fixing to say. Your mask protects me from you, not the other way around. So if I'm breathing germs, and you got the mask on, didn't help you a bit. Be like standing on the other side of a chain link fence and asking that mosquito not to fly through it. Do you get that? I'll help you a bit. But it'll help me if you got it. So if you got it, okay. All right, now I'm playing with you some. Let me give you, some of you say, oh, he's not a doctor. He's not a scientist. I may be more than you are. I got a paper on the wall calls me a doctor. Doctor of theology, which may be the best kind. Let me play with you a minute. I saw a guy jogging this week with a mask on. There wasn't a person within 100 yards of him. Jogging. Now see, he's deceived. He don't know it, but medically, he's hurting himself. Let me give you something now. Check me out. Don't take it my word. Check me out. Your bloodstream needs oxygen in it. And when you breathe, you're breathing in oxygen and you're expelling something, carbon dioxide. And the more you hold it in, the more your blood picks up the carbon dioxide and the less oxygen it has. Preacher friend of mine, Brother Parsons, knows what I'm talking about. Was working in the church restroom, I guess, recently, and he didn't want to dust up the place, so he closed the door too long. And the oxygen in there got small, got less and less, and he had to go to the hospital to get a renewal of oxygen. He hurt himself. Now, see, I'm saying that because some of you hypochondriacs, you go remember what I said. You don't know what to do. All right. Hey, I've been knowing some of you so long, I can have fun with you, and the rest of you, I just don't really care. Just sorry about that, but I'll just be honest with you. I don't have too far to go. The truth of the matter is, I'm not going to be deceived by this fellow. He's going to come in his own name. I'm going to know who he is. If the rapture don't get me first, I'm still not going to be deceived by him. I'm not going to fall for his junk. But so many people are. And oh, yes, you'll take the mark if it's called a vaccination, for sure. I'm going to preach on that one of these Sunday nights because the book of Revelation has a lot to say about it. I think I'm going to entitle it, Brother Parsons, When God Sends His Virus. He's got one. You can find it in the book of Revelation. All right, you got my time. You started thinking wrong and I followed you. Let me come back where I want to go. Which one of these two names are you going to receive? One or the other? Do you have the name of Christ, or are you going to be deceived by the deceiver? That comes in his own name. Jesus said, I've come in my Father's name and you receive me not. Another will come in his own name and him you will receive. And we're going to have one or the other. And there's only one of them that can get you saved. Acts 4:12, what is it? There's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. That's the name of Jesus, not the deceiver. 1 Timothy 2:5, one man, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, one name. Have you got his name? Do you know his name? Have you received him? You know, we sang a song around here, the sweetest name I know. And for the saved person, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Yes, it is. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that at some time in the future, and probably not too far off, everybody is going to confess his name. I read over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That's all the names of the false gods, all the names of the cults and all the isms and all that that man raises. He said a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. Oh, yeah, that goes out into the so-called spiritual world on the other side. Oh, yes. Things in heaven? Mm-hmm. Things in earth? Yes. Things under the earth? Something's down there? Yes. Yes. And then what it says in verse 11, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Yes. One day your knee will bow and say, Jesus is Lord. You know, the good thing this morning, you can do that and be saved. This morning, you can have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In the future, when the recording angel steps up, he'll find your name. It'll be there. We've all been through school, some through the military enough to know when to stand and listen for our name. And it was a good thing sometime to hear it called, and maybe sometime not so good. But one day, it's going to be the best thing ever. My name is written in heaven. Amen. Oh, this deceiver's coming. He's got his little run. He's got his little time that God is going to let him go. But God's going to have a leash on him, and he's going to pull him back in. And the truth is, he's going to get a lot of folks to follow him, believe on his name, take the mark and the number of his name. That's going to happen. But Jesus is a name that's above every name. That every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess. Yes, God cares about his name. I'm going to ask you this morning, are you a Christian? Then you're wearing his name. Are you living like one, but other folks say, yes, he's living up to that name. He's a Christian. Truly, are we doing that? Are we representing him? I think about the father that was in the court, and his son had gone really evil and done bad and killed somebody, I believe it was. And the jury had come in with a guilty verdict, and the judge asked the boy to come to receive his sentence. And he walked up there to the bench, and the judge noticed an old man walked up there with him. And he said, sir, maybe you misunderstood. I called the young man. He said, no, I'm here because I'm his father. He wears my name. He wears my name. He done a bad job on his father's name. Which name are we wearing? Are we Christian? Are we saved? Have we received Christ? Has there been a time we saw ourselves as a sinner and repented and turned from that and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ that loved us and died for us on the cross of Calvary? Has there been a time that we took his name? I see today a lot of stuff with marriages. I see some women, when they get married, still want to keep their name. I'd sure be suspicious of a so-and-so like that. Anyway, but I took his name one time. I came into church. I heard the gospel. I received the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never been ashamed of his name. He may have been ashamed of me some, but I've never been ashamed of his name. And the Bible says, whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed. And I don't mind confessing Jesus is my Lord. He's the one. Not ashamed of his name. And when we sing, oh, the sweetest name I know, I can sing that and mean it. Can you? I really can. I think about missionary story. Got in a village. They had a rally, had a preaching meeting, and people walked dusty road for a long ways. And a number of them got saved when they heard the gospel. Some of them hearing it for the very first time, hearing about Jesus for the very first time. And he said, the next night, there was no meeting, but he said he looked down the road and he saw a woman coming, walking a dusty road. He said he realized how far she had walked. So he went to her to see why she was coming. She'd been saved the night before. She'd heard about Jesus and how he loved her and died for her. And so he said to her, "Sister, why did you walk all this distance back tonight? There's no meeting tonight." She said, "I want you to tell me his name again." There's a song written off of that too, I think, but think about it. The name that's above every name. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm receiving him today. There's a whole pile of the world going to be deceived. And he's going to come, this deceiver, this Satan incarnate, is going to come in his own name. Jesus said to the crowd that rejected him, "I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. But another will come in his own name and him you'll receive." I fear, folks, we're seeing too much of that even now. Right now, you're in God's house, heard God's man preach from God's book. And I ask you the biggest question, whose name are you wearing? Whose name are you wearing? You can change names. You can change from self and pride and a sinful life to come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on his name. Have your sins forgiven. Your name written in heaven. One day, when the roll call of heaven is sounded, your name will be there. Do you know it? Is it there? You'd make sure it is this morning. Would you bow your heads with me, please? With our heads bowed, let's stand quietly to our feet. Father, we commit the invitation to you. Lord, we all wear names this morning. Names we inherited, names we might have purposely chosen, or even had a name change. But Lord, the most important name is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, I pray if there's one in the building that don't have the name of Christ on him, that he would come and receive that name, receive him as Savior, have his sins forgiven and his own name written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. Bless the invitation, I pray today. Father, whatever you've spoken to a heart about, I pray they'll obey. Father, as we sing and on the authority of your word, invite men and women to come to Christ, we pray today your spirit would draw them. We commit it to you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. Will you meet me here? Will you come? Will you come as we sing?
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood.
How about you this morning? Will you come? Will you come? Do you know for sure your name's written in heaven? I can't think of any sadder thing than for your name not to be in the book. When the roll is called up yonder, will your name be there? Will your name be there? How about as we say?
Blood can flow.
Let's bow our heads. The invitation's still open. We'll quit singing for a moment, and the music's still going. You can still come receive Christ. Heads are bowed. God's looking. I'm looking on because I want to ask this question. How many of you remember the time, maybe the struggle, maybe the battle you went through over your soul on saying yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, the time you received his name? If you remember that, would you raise the hand? From where I stand and looking over the whole building, pretty much, is a host of hands, tremendous number of hands. But dear friend, if you're here and you couldn't lift your hand, you say, well, that's kind of embarrassing to me, preacher. Think about when you stand before the universe at the great judgment, and your name's not called because it's not in the book. Because down here, you wouldn't confess the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You wouldn't wear his name. You wanted your way, do things your way, satisfy the way you felt, what you wanted to do. Couldn't dare let him mess up your life, so you rejected him. Time is passing. We older folks know how fast it's passing. It's still passing, whether you notice it or not. And things will not always be just as they are right now. Not in your life, not in the world. They will change. And that day, Bible says it's a day, tells us how to be faithful, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. It says we can see it approaching. I think we do see it approaching. Bible believers read the Bible, see it approaching. There's no doubt about that. But even the world is asking questions about, can this go on? What's going to happen next? It's getting the attention of a crowd that never thought that far in the future before. Has there been a time you had a name change? Somebody said this, and it's kind of a play on words. On which name you choose the name of Christ, or you choose the name of the Antichrist? Jesus said, I come in my own name, you receive me not. Another will come in, Jesus said, my Father's name, you receive me not. Another will come in his own name, and him you will receive. A little play on words. Somebody said, the Antichrist will give you a new number. His number, we know it's 666 in Revelation. The Antichrist will give you a new number, but Jesus Christ will give you a new name. And at the judgment, it'll be whether you have a new name or whether your number is up. The number of the Antichrist is going to be up. Time's out. His judgment's come. Don't be deceived. Don't trust the wrong name. Know the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only know him. You know, folks, what we need right now is the folks that really do name the name of Christ to do what the scripture says. It says, depart from iniquity. He does care how we live. It does count. He that nameth the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity. Yes.
right now is making a bad choice, I hope you're making the right one, that you know Christ and know Him personally. All right. Thank you, folks. All right. We're always disappointed when somebody don't come to be saved. But you know, last few weeks right here in the virus crisis and all the rest of it, we have seen some folks saved, and we praise God for that. And I would love to see more, of course. And we did see them saved out of the camp this week. And all the hard work, it does take a lot of work to get the camp ready and to get everything done. Do you know we had folks come as far away as from Alaska to be in our camp? In fact, if you can go to Sharon Rodriguez, she sang for us this morning. Ask her to share a testimony about it. People come as far away as Alaska. That is great. Amen. And then we had some from other foreign countries like Delaware and places like that. I'm shooting at Brother Parsons there. Anyway. All right. Been good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Encourage you to come back, be with us again tonight, and we'll go ahead and be dismissed in prayer. Brother Condon, step on over and dismiss us, please.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the time now we've had to be assembled in your house this morning. We thank you for the preaching we've heard. Father, we thank you for that name that's above every name. We thank you for salvation in that name. And Father, we thank you for having an oh-so salvation. Lord, pray for those that might not have that this morning and have that victory. They'll seek the truth of your word and seek out a Savior that loved them and died for them and get that name that's above every name this morning. Father, thank you for this afternoon and the time we can be prepared to come back into your house tonight. Dismiss us with your safety. Father, we continue to lift up our prayer list from our church to you. May you continue to meet the need there. We ask now and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.